This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. We got a jam-packed show for you this morning. Going to talk Hillsboro girls soccer with head coach Dave Mattson here in just a moment. Going to catch up with new Litchfield boys basketball coach Lance Bolt this morning about 9:20. North Mac baseball coach Chris Hatala will be with us around 9:30. And then Hillsboro bass fishing coach Tim Morford joins us about 9:45 as the Toppers headed to the bass fishing state tournament coming up, which will be held at Carlisle Lake. So congratulations to the Toppers on that. We look forward to talking with Tim Morford coming up here later in the hour on Sports Saturday. Hey, before we go too much farther, congratulations to Greenville baseball coach Todd Hutchinson. Picked up career win number 600 earlier this week when they beat Litchfield. 27th year as the head baseball coach at Greenville, and 600 wins for Hutch. And we'll be hard pressed to find a better dude than Todd Hutchinson. And congratulations to Hutch on that amazing milestone. 600 wins for Greenville baseball for Todd Hutchinson in his 27-year career. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Hillsboro girls soccer coach Dave Mattson. And Dave, thanks for a few minutes of your time. Can you imagine coaching a team for 27 years?
No, absolutely not at this point.
I mean, the longevity there is just so impressive. And Dave, it's all about building a program, isn't it? So when you take over a program for you, Topper girls soccer, talk to me about kind of some of the important fundamentals that you like to get established.
So I think one of the big things that I do is I want to establish the just the culture of what the team's going to be about as a coach. Fitness and team tactics are a big part of it, but also just having a positive atmosphere around the program. It's really important to me, so making sure that, you know, we're all wanting to be there and wanting to, we want to win games, but we also want to love the sport. So that's really important to me, and I think that helps build the program and, you know, keeps, you know, younger girls coming in because they see, hey, you know, people are having fun. Yeah, we're getting wins, but we're also enjoying ourselves.
Boy, and culture is important no matter the size of school or the sport, but especially at a small school in a spring sport, I think culture becomes even more important because at the end of the year, if there's not a good culture and it's not fun, the kids aren't coming.
That's right. That's right. And there's, you know, there's, again, at a small school, there's only so many, you know, athletes. And so there are some options, and a lot of them have played all of those sports. So I try to keep it something that people want to do, spend their time doing.
Talk to me about this season and just the uniqueness of it since you didn't have a year last year. I'm sure just the enthusiasm and just the joy for going to practice is probably at an all-time high.
Yeah, that might be true. I mean, you know, for a lot of these girls, they have not played soccer in two full years. And even, like, for instance, the rec season goes in eighth grade, you know, they hadn't played soccer since the fall of their eighth grade year. So it was almost 2.5 years. So, you know, I think one of the issues was we probably lost at least a couple of girls because of that. You know, girls who look back at the last 2 years and say, I don't really play soccer anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was unfortunate. But I think you're exactly right. A lot of people just eager to get out and play. And, you know, it wasn't even snowing at the beginning of our season. So that's even a nice thing for girls soccer. So
that is a positive. Talking with Dave Mattson here, the Hillsboro girls soccer coach. And, Dave, talk to me about the early part of your season here and how it's gone for you.
So far, so good. You know, one of the things that's been interesting about the season is the schedule is so compressed. So we've only got like 5 weeks, but all the games of a normal season. The first couple of weeks have been, you know, a little bit more like normal, couple games a week. It's going to get real heavy in terms of 4 or 5 games a week for the next 3 weeks. So far, we've got some wins and, we're enjoying the game. I think, because of the compressed schedule, you know, we didn't have as much time to practice beforehand. Also, this is certainly going to be the case in the next week of we're still implementing our, you know, our team tactics and still training while we play games. So that's been a bit of a challenge, but, you know, I think you probably ask the players, they'd say, yeah, we'd rather do that playing games than, you know, drilling for, you know, 2 hours every day.
Well, it is a player's dream. You know, it's like, oh, we got four games this week? Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but in a sport like soccer where it's such continuous motion and, you know, the physical part is so important, how will you adjust maybe not necessarily your rotations because, you know, rotations in soccer isn't necessarily the same as other sports, but in terms of dealing with that many games in that short amount of time, making sure your kids are fresh?
Sure. It helps when I've got 29 girls on my roster.
That helps. Yeah, so, useful.
Yeah, that is really excellent. And so, like, for instance, this week we've got 5 away games, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Some of those have JV games and some don't, you know, so I'm always looking at conference games versus non-conference games and, you know, when can we rest some of the varsity players and, you know, the benefit of that is then you're also getting the experience, varsity experience for, some of the other players who wouldn't necessarily get that. So I feel like the more players we can have that, are ready to play in a varsity game, the better. And when I've got that many to draw from, that's been really great so far. And I'm really, not to mention that, you know, makes me excited for the future too.
Well, yeah, I mean, that speaks great to the culture you were talking about at the beginning when you have 29 girls out. And Dave, who are some of your important key cogs right now?
Oh boy, I've got a handful, and, you know, at the beginning of the season, you think something's going to happen, and you're not exactly sure,
right.
You know, how it's all going to work out. I would say a couple of my seniors who, you know, have really stepped up, Vanessa Compton and Nakia Harston on defense. They're really solid back there. Kelsey Holtgrave is a senior in the midfield, providing leadership, and she's really doing a nice job there. I've also got, you know, a bunch of sophomores and a couple of juniors who are getting some really good time. And just, you know, one thing about soccer is certain people score the goals, but, you know, 90% of the work is done on the midfielders,
right.
A handful of sophomores, Seth Matt, Cameron Kuiper, Isabella White, you know, some of these guys are doing just so much work in the middle of the field. And then you get it up to the people who are scoring more of the goals. Lainey Rupert has, I don't know, something like 8 goals already. Kinley Richardson is a freshman, forward for us. And she's just got a bunch of speed up there. And so she's got a handful of goals. So that's been fun to actually score some goals. A lot of my games over the last 5 years have been like 2-1, you know what I'm saying? So to actually get, you know, a handful of goals has been exciting.
I'm sure. And Dave, one final question for you. You mentioned Nakia Harston. Does she play soccer anything like she plays basketball? Because, man, like just like a reckless, carefree abandon.
Hey, you think she doesn't look like a soccer player, but she is effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she comes away with the ball all the time, and so she might not look like it at first, but you can trust her, you know, to do what she needs to do and to take the ball away from opposing team's offense, and then she's, you know, just an athlete and smart enough about what's going on that she knows, you know, she get her head up, look up what's going on, and get the ball to the right place. So
she is the same as the basketball player. She just has a nose for the ball, always finds the ball. Some kids are just like that. They just are. Dave Mattson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and enjoy the, 5 games this coming week? That'll be fun.
That's right. All away. So a lot of bus time.
You got to talk to Duffy about that. Like, Duffy, come on, man. What's going on?
That's right.
Dave, thank you. That is Dave Mattson, the Hillsborough girls soccer coach. And yeah, Dave, that's where you got to get the AD on the line there. It's like 5 road games? in 1 week? Come on, Duffy, you're killing me.
Did I do something to make you mad?
Yeah, what did I do? What happened
here? Do we have a problem here?
I thought we were pals. But, you know, that's just one of the, we joke, but in this year, you play the games when and where you can jam them in. You know, if they're all on the road this year, so be it.
Well, and that can prepare you for postseason time because you're probably going to be traveling in those games as well. So the girls should be tested.
There's not a girl. I don't think there's soccer postseason.
Is there not?
I don't think so.
Is that a higher risk sport? I didn't know.
Medium
that.
Risk.
Medium risk. Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Low risk outdoor sports, to my knowledge, are.
I didn't know that was spring sports. I didn't know that was a medium or high risk sport. I thought that was a low risk sport.
Well, we don't want to get into that discussion again about what is a medium risk and what is a high risk. I'm over that, David.
Right.
Somehow, you know, because that was the amazing thing about basketball. It somehow went. It started as a medium risk sport. And then somehow, miraculously, went to a high-risk sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But we're not going down that rabbit hole, my friend.
I could have just been mistaken. Blame it on me.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, Litchfield has hired a new boys basketball coach. It is Lance Bolt, and we're going to talk with Mr. Bolt when Sports Saturday continues.
We are back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Cardinal baseball coming up this afternoon. Game 2 of 3 against Colorado, 12:20 with the pregame on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9, and 92.9. Some scores from action yesterday around the area in high school baseball. Carthenville beat Carrollton in 4 innings, 21-3. Staunton shut out Litchfield 5-0. Greenfield Northwestern over Gillespie 15-14. Mount Olive beat Morrisonville 19-5. And SHG over Auburn 9-2. Softball yesterday, Jersey beat Litchfield 16-0. Pleasant Plains over Lincolnwood 16-9. Staunton beat Pawnee 10-4. It was Gillespie, winners over Greenfield Northwestern 11-0. North Mac beat Auburn 10-0. And it was Pena topping Riverton by the final of 6-1. There was track and field yesterday in Gillespie in the boys' meet. Ronnie Monkey had himself a good day for the Gillespie Miners. He won the 100-meter dash. He won the 200 meters, and he also was your high jump champion yesterday. In the 400-meter race yesterday at Gillespie, Mac Bennett of Auburn was the winner. Logan Santel of Bunker Hill won the 800 meters. Colton Smothers of Auburn won the 1600. Jacob Divjak of Auburn won the 3200. In the hurdles, 110 meters, Jackson Kern of Auburn was the winner. The 300-meter hurdles went to Parker Knopp of Gillespie. Now, Auburn, they swept all of the relays yesterday in Gillespie 4x1, by 2, by 4, and by 8. The long jump went to Alex Rabin of Auburn. The triple jump to Joseph Durhock of Auburn. Jeffrey Sharp of Auburn won the pole vault. Jake Carter of Gillespie won the discus. And Jacob Rollins from Auburn won the shot put yesterday in the meet at Gillespie. We'll get those girls' results from Gillespie here later on in the hour. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by new head boys basketball coach at Litchfield, Lance Bolt. Lance, good morning, sir. Thank you for a few minutes of your time. Tim Mize and David Jenkins with you here on WSMI. And I guess you're on the road to Sykeston?
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you guys getting a hold of me. I'm heading down to Sykeston for travel baseball this morning, so hopefully I don't cut out on you guys.
Oh, I think you'll be just fine. And when we were communicating earlier in the week, I said I never go to Sykes without hitting up Lambert's.
Oh, we'll be catching some rolls here in about 4 or 5 hours. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. And I know you're looking forward very much to getting this new basketball season underway. But before we talk kind of about your plans and goals for the program, tell us a little bit about your history.
Yeah, I've been in coaching high school basketball for, I guess, 14 years now, mostly at Mount Vernon High School here in Southern Illinois, and been a freshman boys coach and JV boys coach, been a few years on the girls side too, but looking forward to just, Litchfield and, getting to know some of you guys and the players here shortly. My wife and I are in the process right now looking for a house up in that area, so, I guess here in about 4 or 5 weeks, we'll get rolling with some summer stuff, but just really excited about it.
And you guys will be moving into Litchfield?
Yes, that's the plan. Actually Monday I think we're going to head up there and look at a couple houses. So we just can't wait. We can't wait to get started.
And, you know, when you make a move like this, it is a family affair, and it does have to just be exciting for you to get this head coaching job and now starting in this brand new direction.
Yeah, we were really fortunate. My wife, she also got hired on there at the high school as a family consumer science teacher, and I'm teaching social studies. So you know, we're going to be in the same school together. We got three kids, and they'll be there at the school. So, it's definitely a family affair, that's for sure.
How old are your kids, Lance?
I've got two daughters. They're both in high school, and then my son Luke. He is he's a fifth grader. So. And he's a little baseball, basketball guy, but they're all really, really excited. You know, I got a 16-year-old daughter who's probably taking it the hardest, you know, 16 but she's coming around and she's looking forward to it. And they just can't wait. We've been talking, Litchfield's been coming out of our mouths a lot here the last few weeks, so they're just really pumped about it.
Oh, yeah, your kids will love it. They're going to have a fantastic time. And as we spin this forward now to on the floor, talk to me about your style of play.
Well, it depends a little bit on, you know, what we have skill-wise and what guys can do, but I'm a big believer in a motion offense that I was taught down here at Mount Vernon, and it works really well because it gets everybody involved. And we're looking to score. We're looking to push the ball up the court and score. But if we don't, we have to set up an offense. And, you know, this motion is really good. I have a bunch of sets to go along with it. But it just gets everybody involved, and everybody's touching the basketball. I don't know what the skill set is necessarily right now at Litchfield, and it depends a lot on what we got there. But I like everybody to be able to have the ball in their hands a little bit and feel like they're part of something. But don't get me wrong, we're pushing the ball and looking to score as quickly as we can. We want to get the best shot possible every single time down the court. I feel like if we get a good shot every time down the court, then we have a really good chance of winning a basketball game. And I think the team that takes the best shots has a really good chance of winning. So that's what I want to do. I like three-pointers. I love layups. You know, that's kind of my philosophy as well. Threes are wonderful, but I love layups. And the best shot we can get, that's what I want to do. So that's a little bit of my philosophy. Again, it just depends on what we have, and it could change from year to year. But I'm going to work with what we have, and I can't wait.
Well, and based on that and the young group of players that you have, I think that style is going to mesh very well here in the short term for Litchfield. But, Lance, you hit on, I think, probably the most important aspect of coaching, maybe sometimes it gets overlooked, is you can't be rigid in your system. You do have to adjust and adapt to the talent you have each year, because at a small school, that can change in a hurry.
Absolutely. And, I've heard a lot about the young talents that's coming through at Litchfield and the athleticism. And if we've got some athletes, one of the things that I like to do too is get one-on-one. I'm always looking for advantages, whether it's two-on-one, even one-on-one. If I can find some isolation stuff for these guys, and, you know, we're sweeping and attacking the basket where they're isolated, you know, that would work out really, really well. But you have to have some athletes a little bit to do some of that. And from what I understand, we got some athletes in the system. So, I'll learn more here in a few weeks when we get rolling, but that's my plan anyway.
I think you'll have a smile on your face the first few times you see him run up and down the floor, but that's just my opinion. Talking with Lance Bolt, the new head boys basketball coach at Litchfield. And Lance, what do you have any idea what the summer will be? Have you gotten a sense, will it be close to the quote unquote normal, whatever that winds up being?
Well, I've been in touch with the athletic directors, and as well as the head football coach, Dan Carlson, and the girls basketball coach. We're trying to get a game plan and a schedule. I think this next week we're going to get a schedule on exactly what the gym time is going to look like. I do know that we're definitely going to be in the weight room. I've got some speed and agility things that I want the kids to be doing, but I think as of right now, as soon as baseball is over, and hopefully they're going a long ways, but when baseball wraps up, we're going to get in the gym at least 3 days a week with touching a basketball, having a basketball in our hands and doing some things. I'd like to get them introduced to a few things. But then as far as the weight room and just the speed and agility, we want to keep that thing going. But I got to work, you know, around what they're wanting to do, football, girls basketball, and work out that gym time. But I don't know if it's going to be I don't know how back to normal we're really going to be yet. I'm hoping as much as possible. I'll be more knowledgeable, I guess, about that after this next week, after talking more with the athletic directors. But we'll definitely, we're going to be doing some things in June. June is going to be a big month for us.
And I guess not necessarily this summer, but say next summer. Are you a guy, do you like to get, how many games do you like to get in a normal summer? Not this year, but like moving forward.
I'd like to, if possible, maybe get in a little league, maybe a Monday night thing. I'd like to go travel a little bit and do a couple camps. You know, McKendree's not too far down the road. Greenville's not too far. Definitely, yeah, I want to get as many games in as possible. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet for this summer, you know. So I'm just kind of waiting to see. I don't want to say anything and then it not be true. So I hopefully will know more this week.
Sounds good.
In a normal summer, we're going to be playing a lot.
Yeah. Because, I mean, players are made in the summertime, and that's when it happens.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, man, I'm coming from a school where we went to Chicago. We were in some leagues in Evansville, St. Louis. We were always traveling. And I'd like to be able to do as much of that as we can. But at the same time, Litchfield is not as big as Mount Vernon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're sharing, you know, sports are sharing players. So I don't want to take away from what they're doing. But June is a big, big month for us from a basketball standpoint. You know, it's right after baseball, right before football. But at the same time, a lot of these kids may be playing travel baseball, too. So we got to, you know, I got to work around that, too. But we're definitely going to have some plans. There's no question about it. We're going to go some places.
Lance Bolt, thank you for a few minutes of your time, sir. Congratulations on the new job. And we look forward very much to watching the Purple Panthers hit the floor coming up this I guess hopefully fall, early winter.
Yeah, hopefully it all works out. Hey, hopefully I get a chance to talk to you guys a lot. I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you so much. And hey, enjoy the throat rolls.
I can't wait. My favorite part of going down to Sykes.
It's beautiful. That's Lance Bolt, the new head boys basketball coach at Litchfield. And yeah, if you go to Sykeston, Missouri, and I go down to the Gulf. Well, seems like, you know, used to. Before all this. But there's a Lambert's down there in Foley, Alabama.
Ozark, Missouri as well. If you're on your way to Branson, there's one down there.
Oh, man. Yeah. But Lambert's. It doesn't matter which one of the locations you go to. It's just phenomenal.
Got to bring cash, though.
Right.
Got to bring cash.
Right.
But it is delicious.
And your hands.
Yes. This is probably training, right? Should have asked him this is some sort of training for the baseball diamond.
That's right.
How does the catching the hot roll translate on the baseball diamond?
And, you know, those guys who throw the rolls, you talk about, like, quarterbacks hitting receivers in stride.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're 85 or 6, they're hitting you right in the hands.
Oh, yeah. They're good at what they do.
Yeah. I would imagine that's like the highest level job at Lambert's.
The thrower.
Has to be, right?
Yeah. I've never paid attention. Gosh, I can only count on one hand the number of times I've been there. But I've never paid attention to see if they are, like, specialty people or if they're, like, the actual servers who go around.
No, I think they're specialty people. Okay. You know, you got the people who go and do the pass-arounds or the pass-alongs or whatever they call them. But the roll thrower, that's like the fry guy.
Yeah.
Man, that, big time.
Yeah. You've made it.
You've made it.
You're in the big leagues.
You're
now
throwing the rolls. That's exactly right. And, of course, if you're down at the one in Foley, a lot of Roll Tide.
Of course.
Roll Tide after every roll throw.
That's your punctuation right
that's,
there.
That's exactly right. Hey, we're going to catch up with North Mac baseball coach Chris Atala here in just a moment on WSMI Sports Saturday. And, you know, the weather this spring has been spotty at best at times. But North Mac, they're rocking that beautiful turf baseball field. You know, they got the football field in turf, last year for North Mac. Then Carlinville came in with their turf football field. But North Mac with a turf baseball field. And for a small high school to have a turf baseball field, that's a game changer, to say the least. And the North Mac baseball squad, they are off to a very strong start here in the early part of this season, and they are gearing up for what they hope will be a deep postseason run. And joining us on the phone right now, in just a moment, is the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, Chris Hatala. And Chris, good morning, sir. Thanks for a few minutes of your time. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, the turf field, you know, any more like kids when they're playing travel ball, whatever, they play on turf fields. But in high school ball for small schools, there's not a lot of action on the turf. How nice is it to have that be your home facility?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, just to be able to play during rain days.
Yeah.
We get a few more games at home compared to a normal season. So,
have you noticed that your defenders have had to be on their toes a little bit more with the speed that the ground balls travel on the turf?
Well, fortunately, our last 2 years we've played our home games at Lynn Field in Jacksonville, so we're pretty familiar with the turf. So I guess the home field advantage is in our court there.
Chris, you guys are off to a really powerful start. Talk to me about your club. You seem to be extremely balanced across all facets of the game.
Yeah, I mean, 1-9 in our lineup right now is just a tough out. They're really good teammates. They buy into what we're doing. It's an exciting start. We've always wanted to start a season out, you know, this hot. 10-0 is always our goal. And we're on the right path, so hopefully we keep it up.
You know, the group of athletes at North Mac just year after year just churned out. But this is a group of kids. It doesn't matter the sport. They just get after it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, small schools, they catch lightning in a bottle randomly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we have 4 or 5 years of great athletes like we've got is a big step for us, so hopefully we can keep that moving forward.
Talk to me about the senior group this year, because, you know, last year, obviously, not having a season, and the seniors last year, obviously, terrible. But for the junior class, the seniors this year, they took really a bigger blow from this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, to start this season, I've had one starter with me in preseason workouts. So I'm starting only two seniors, but they are a big part of this team. So they've had to work, you know, overlapping sports is a little tough on them, but to come right back in and slide into this sport and get off to the start we're having is just, it's unreal. It's fun.
Talking with Chris Hatala, the North Mac baseball coach, and this is a season, obviously, it's kind of condensed in there, jam as many games as you can. So in terms of your pitching, I guess from where it was at the start of the year to where it is now, how's it progressing for you?
Well, it's progressing. We have a couple sore arms that we have to baby along, limp along. But so far, our game plan has stayed intact. We're watching pitch counts, being able to throw more than once a week if possible. You know, not overthrowing, but you know, our two seniors are a big part of that also. So just to keep them healthy is one thing. So hopefully that keeps going too.
Tell me a little bit about the pitch count. It's been around for several years now at the high school level. And in my experiences being around our high school coaches locally, everybody was managing that properly before the number came in. But just with that being in place, just another layer, another thing you have to pay attention to in terms of the actual number.
I mean, it's huge, especially, you know, small schools have to battle this. I mean, if you have 10 great pitchers, then you're in a really good situation. But small schools don't, you know, they're not fortunate enough to have that. So when you have 4 or 5, you have to really, really pay attention to it. It gets really tough on us. Sometimes the kids don't see that. But, you know, if you have 4 or 5 good ones, you should be able to balance it out. But, you know, cramming all these games in all at once, it's getting a little challenging.
How important is it for you to be able to trust your kids to know that they're telling you the truth when you say, how do you feel, that if they say, I feel good, they actually feel good? That's so important.
Yeah, I mean, I do trust them. I would hope that they trust me with my opinion. So I'm really stuck on baby in their arms anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Long season, lots of pitches, lots of throws from the infield, the outfield, stuff like that. So there's a lot of trust there, and I believe that they they trust me, so I hope that they're telling me the truth.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do. And obviously, one of the most important things any baseball player can do is play long toss. You can never play long toss too much.
No, not at all. But, you know, this year we don't even, you know, typically we have a preseason workout plan, and we're just not getting the bullpens that we want, stuff like that. So that gets a little bit more difficult. So warming up is very important in our book.
Obviously, North Mac will be going into the South Central Conference here coming up in a couple of years. But the other day, Todd Hutchison picked up his 600th win for the Comets. That's a lot of W's, Chris.
Oh, man, that's crazy. I've said that for years. It would take me 20 years to even come close to those numbers. So I started a little later than most, so I don't see that in my future.
And you know,
congrats to April.
Oh, it's such a big number, and you know, historically, and I don't think it's not going to be the case this year with the baseball and the normal spring sports. But a lot of times that senioritis kind of sets in, and maybe the focus isn't there all the way through the year. That's not going to happen this year.
No, I mean, it's a little tougher this year because some of these schools are getting out before we're done playing baseball this year. So to keep them locked in is going to be another challenge. But, yeah, I think, you know, with my group, I think we're buying in 100%. So hopefully we can keep moving forward there.
And you mentioned, you know, a lot of the kids in your team, crossover athletes. How excited are they to finally get to play a sport this year with a postseason? Because they haven't had it in anything else they've done.
No, I think it's finally kicking in on them. Since we started out so hot, that I think that they've finally realized, man, we can play for something here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's unfortunate for the rest of the sports because we had some pretty good teams around here. So, you know, it's exciting for me that we finally get one. So,
when will all the seeding for that begin?
I believe we have to turn in our rankings like the 18th. So, you know, late next week will be the final games before you rank.
Okay.
I think the 19th will be the don't quote me on that. I try not to follow this stuff. So I want to focus on my practices and games. So.
Chris, what's your week look like coming up here?
We have two big conference games, Athens and Pleasant Plains. We have a Tri-City in between, and then we have a doubleheader on Saturday. So we have five games next week, which is tough. But, you know, with the Dynamo Conference, there's no laydown games. Even if a team's struggling, it's still a tough game. So we have a pretty tough schedule this week.
All right. Chris Atala, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to watching the North Mac Panthers down the stretch here.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Chris Atala with North Mac. And that is the great thing about the spring sports this year is they get the postseason, and you know that for the kids who played basketball, who played football, and didn't get the postseason, to now be able to get it in the spring sports is just absolutely huge.
Well, and we've talked about it on this show many times before, how it seems like in a normal year, spring sports really get the short end of the stick because it's, you know, school's almost out, kids are ready to just be done and hit the summer. There might be a little bit more pep in their step being the only sports with postseasons right now.
Well, I think absolutely. And there's always just a different mentality in spring sports. Like with you'll hear coaches who coach basketball and then a spring sport, they'll say, the kids don't recognize me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just
yeah,
more laid back.
Right.
The coaching even a lot of times in the spring sports versus coaches who coach sports earlier in the year. It's completely different. And this year, it's really going to be different just from the calendar perspective, because there's only a couple weeks of school left.
Yeah.
And baseball season is going to roll all the way into the middle part of June.
Well, and he mentioned seeding's going to be, and again, he was unofficial on this, but seeding's potentially in a couple weeks, or they have to have them turned in by a couple weeks or something like that.
It'll be like a week from Tuesday.
Right. So that seems later than normal, like, because it seems to me, and maybe I'm just misremembering, but it seems to me usually like the baseball season and softball season get started, and then the seedings are released like a week or two later. It seems like just because Mother Nature, you know, a lot of the games are canceled, you don't get a lot of games in before the seedings come out.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably certainly the case more years than not.
Right.
And the weather this week, who knows, spotty, as it's been all spring long. But I, you know, for the most part, they've been able to get in a bulk of the games.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I say it seems like this year might be different, where in a normal year you don't have a lot of games to look at when deciding how you're going to seed teams, whereas this year it seems like you have a pretty good amount.
Yeah. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Hillsboro Bass Fishing Team. They are headed to state. Their head coach, Tim Morford, is going to join us and talk about the Toppers. They are state-bound. They'll be off to Carlisle Lake for the Bass Fishing State Tournament. We will talk it over with Tim Morford when Sports Saturday rolls on.
We are back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Cardinal baseball coming up this afternoon against Colorado. 12:20 with the pregame on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. Well, earlier this week, the Hillsboro Bass Fishing Team placed third in the sectional over at Coffeen Lake, and that is good enough to advance them to the state tournament coming up at Carlisle Lake. And we're going to catch up with Tim Morford, the bass fishing head coach at Hillsboro, here in just a moment on Sports Saturday. And I'm not exactly sure how many years the bass fishing has been an official IHSA sport, but it has proven to be wildly popular and successful. And you know, this last year, a lot of consternation about the IHSA and how they were handling things during the COVID pandemic, and a lot of people up in arms about various things. This is an example of what makes the IHSA so valuable. It's more than football, basketball, baseball. You know, they've got music events. They got the Scholastic Bowl, and they've got bass fishing. You know, they've got activities across the spectrum, and that is what truly separates the IHSA when they offer things like bass fishing. And we're happy to be joined right now by Tim Morford, the bass fishing coach for the state-bound Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And Tim, thank you for a few minutes of your time. How does that sound? The state-bound Hillsboro Hilltoppers.
Well, I feel your excitement. I promise you the parents and club members of this group are very excited.
Talk to me about the day. I mean, normally, you know, like when you think of fishing, you're relaxing, you're throwing a line in, just kind of kicking back. I would imagine there was a lot of intensity out there.
Yeah, there was some gut-wrenching planning and game planning. The rain was coming down. Some of our plans had to be swapped, but luckily for me, I had boat captains in Dennis Loscott and Dave Riggs that were who are avid fishermen who knew the lake and had a plan and put it together, helped us finish third and sixth.
Talk to me about the I guess the format. The Coffeen Lake is open and you can go wherever you want, or are there different sections that you rotate in and out of? How does it work?
I believe we left from the South Marina and we were confined to that south part of Coffeen Lake. We drew numbers and launched at 8 o'clock. Hillsboro, we chose to fish eight of our club members, so we had them go out in flights of two per boat, and then made the swap halfway through. It really worked out to our benefit.
What was the feeling, I guess, throughout the day? Was there a good feeling like, okay, we're right where we need to be here?
Okay, so I got to disclose something. So Coach Riggs, I was expecting them to load the boat up. Dennis Loscott had a game plan, and I had confidence in him that he was going to do the same. We were getting reports that Riggs' boat were having big blow-ups, but had only landed two, and that was by 11:30 in the morning. So that was a kind of a shocker. And then Dennis Loscott's boat, they quickly boated five and was coaling fish for several hours of the tournament. All exciting. We would get feedback from them by phone, of course, and I would feed it to the next group of fishermen. I probably made a mistake and had them wound too tight by the time they got in the boat. But it all worked out.
So, Tim, talk to me about the individual kids. Let's give them a shout out here.
Okay, shout out on Coach Riggs, both placed sixth. We had we're a young team, so we had ninth grade Declan Riggs and 11th grade Bryce Connors going out first in the morning from 8 to 11:30. And then in the second part of that, we had Ethan Blackburn and Jaden Jacobs, both juniors, for the second part of it. And then on Coach Dennis Loscott's boat, who finished third, the first set was Reese Morford, my son, a 10th grader, and a 9th grade, Austin Loscott, and that was Dennis's kid. The second set of fishermen were Elias Gutierrez, a 9th grade, and 11th grade, Austin Edwards, who ended up catching our kicker fish that really propelled us to that third place finish. It was awesome.
Oh, it had to just be absolutely thrilling. And now off, I think, to Carlisle Lake for the state tournament. I guess details on what's going to happen moving forward into the state meet here.
Right. So May 21st, 22nd is going to be the state, the IHSA state finals at Carlisle Lake. We're going to be down there at 5:30 to get the festivities going. I think the launch time is probably going to be a little bit sooner than 8. I don't know the details yet. One boat qualified, so those members who are listed for that boat, and that'd be Reese, Morford, Austin, Loscott, Austin Edwards, and Elias Gutierrez, they get to fish it. It's a two-day tournament. 12 inches or bigger on the fish, so we're trying to catch our best 10 fish.
Talking with Tim Morford here, the Hillsboro Bass Fishing Coach. And, Tim, talk to me about kind of the overall interest in the program here. How many kids do you have involved? And I would suspect that you're going to have some more kids getting involved after this.
Well, I'm hoping so. The more the merrier. You know, I really appreciate what the fishing platform provides our young people. And I noticed by the support of parents, our local business people, and I want to particularly mention Bob's Marine and Tammy White's T-Shirt Inc. for being our supporters. But there's evidence that this is a needed thing in this area. We're going to get out there. We're going to have a good time. We have 18 members right now. I had 8 students go to the Board of Education last year prior to the COVID crisis and get this approved. I was very happy to see our board members all receive this information positively and without doubt voted it in. We got shut down last year, but this year, once things opened up, we quickly put it together. I've had parents and other people in this community anonymously donate money. I think we have it made as far as into the future. I think this is going to be a long-standing thing, indefinitely. I just don't know if I can coach it for another decade, but there'll be someone else to follow my footsteps.
And this is, I mean, it's just a wonderful thing the IHSA did years ago when they made this an official sanctioned sport with postseason. It's really just, it's wonderful to see a non-traditional sport get the thrill for these kids of a state tournament.
Yeah, and to see the teamwork, when we were there fishing, we had 14 other schools there with, on average, 2 boats per high school. And, you know, we were talking, we were, you know, it was just good fellowship, you know. I would tell you, I looked up some stats, and there were 25 other sectionals in the state of Illinois with an average of about 14 high schools competing in each one of those sectionals. So we're talking over 250 high schools across the state of Illinois doing this. So something's got to be right.
Something's got to be right. That's exactly right. Tim Morford, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Congratulations on the trip to state, and we look forward to watching the toppers here the 21st and 22nd of May. Congratulations.
Thank you. Go Toppers.
There we go. I can hear Donnie Downs somewhere with his T-O-P-P-P-E-R-S Toppers chant.
That's too many.
Did I put slip three P's in there?
Yes, you did.
It's so nice that it deserves three P's, David.
Well, there's one L in Hilltoppers, and you threw in the extra P.
That's right. One L and three P's. You Why not?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And for my money, that is the best high school chant when
sure.
when they get that Toppers chant going.
Certainly in this area, for sure. Yeah, cool, absolutely.
Man. So congratulations to Hillsboro Bass Fishing. That is so neat. So neat. And you heard Tim allude to it that a group of students took this upon themselves last year. And as a school board, how do you say no when you got
All right.
group of eight kids that go in there and say, hey, we want this?
Yeah, I don't know how big the standard bass fishing team is, but I would think eight's probably pretty good size. And what he said, Dave, like 18?
18 in the club is what he said.
Yeah, so, I mean, good grief.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Cardinal baseball coming up today, 1220 AM, 1540, 1069 in 92.9. And Dave, we have a few minutes here, and I mentioned this the day after in the morning sports, but cut Matt Carpenter and sign Albert Pujols.
Yep.
I don't care about anything baseball related, but if you're going to keep a guy on the roster who is subpar and doesn't play to the level he used to play, you might as well keep the first ballot Hall of Famer instead of Matt Carpenter.
I will say, when you look at it objectively, just to kind of play devil's advocate here.
I want to look at it objectively.
Well, I know. And I agree with you. I'm all for that move. Objectively, Matt Carpenter can play defense at first, second, and third base and the outfield. I mean,
okay.
Granted, he can play those positions.
He can put a glove on and go out there. I'm not going to say he can play any of those positions at any type of major league level.
He can play out there in a pinch at all those positions.
That, Albert could play third base in a pinch.
I think he has already this year.
I think
he played an inning. Yeah.
He can't play second.
Right.
But, I mean, if you can stick Matt Carpenter at third base, you can stick Albert Pujols at third. And it doesn't matter. Nolan Arenado plays 161 games a year.
Yeah, I mean, and you can fit Tommy Edman in there and Arenado's days off.
I get what the Angels are doing. You know, they want to move on. Albert's not the same guy he was, clearly. The Cardinals never would have done him like that.
No.
You know, to DFA, a first ballot Hall of Famer, a month into the year, cold and dirty.
It's the irony is not lost on me when Albert signed that deal with the Angels, and I'm not lambasting him for doing that, but it was mentioned so much about the loyalty that the Angels showed him in signing that contract.
Hmm.
And now, 10 years later, on the anniversary of his first home run as an Angel, by the way,
right?
He is no longer an Angel.
Yeah.
So,
now,
or I guess he is technically right now, but will not be in a few days.
Sits back and sees the treatment Yachty's getting on the back end of his career as a lifetime Cardinal.
Oh, he would get a lot if he were to sign with the Cardinals, or if the Cardinals were to pursue him.
Oh. Just
what a way to end it.
What a way to end it.
You can't go out this way.
No.
He cannot end his career this way.
Can't go out like that.
Yeah.
No. Deserves better than that.
Yeah. And honestly, he deserves better than to sign with any other team, too.
I mean,
even if he gets playing time somewhere else. Yeah. Sign with St. Louis.
Just come home.
Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it. Hey, thank you very much to Dave Mattson, Lance Bolt, Chris Atala, and Tim Morford for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball coming up 12:20 this afternoon. Cards and Rockies, AM 1540, FM 106.9 in 92.9. We got high school softball for you on Monday. Staunton at Gillespie. We'll have the broadcast 7 o'clock Monday night on FM 106.1. Check the website for our broadcast schedule at WQSMIRadio.com. For David, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done on WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.